Morning, everybody.
First and foremost,
praise the Lord for another opportunity to share the word of the Lord. And then secondly, Mother's Day, Mexican Mother's Day is Saturday. Somehow there's two, but okay. It's always the 10th of May, so happy Mother's Day, Feliz Dia de, or Feliz Madre, I don't know how to say it in Spanish. There's some way to say it. But happy Mother's Day to all the Hispanic ladies on Saturday and to everybody else. And in my case, I have to buy a gift for Saturday and Sunday. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So happy Mother's Day. We definitely appreciate every mom, whether it be a physical mom or a spiritual mom. I hope you have an amazing weekend and your husband, sons, daughters, family treats you correctly because you deserve it all. That's for sure. Let's pray and then let's jump into the word of the Lord. Yahweh, we come to you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for happiness. We thank you for laughter, that laughter is like good medicine to the bone, God, to the bones. God, today, Lord, I pray that you will help us experience you, help us to feel safe, help us to see you in a way that we've never seen you. Help us to know you as rescuer, as redeemer, as lover of our souls. Today we honor you and we thank you for every plan that you've set in place in our lives. Lord, anytime we fall short, anytime we mess up, anytime we sin, I pray for an anointing will come upon us, that we will come after you again, that we won't be ashamed, or we won't give the enemy a foothold. God, that we'll come back to you with our mess, with our sins, with our emptiness, with everything, God, so that you can fill us up again. Today, I pray for a word that will change us, a word that will help us, a word that will encourage us, and most of all, for a word that will bring you the glory and praise you so rightfully deserve. We pray these things by faith in you, and we settle them, and we believe them, and we pray them in Jesus' name. Amen. Scripture today is going to come out of John, chapter 18. St. John, chapter 18. We're going to start at about verse 1. I want to show you today, the Lord's definitely been ministering to me, that things in our lives do not happen on accident. That there is a great king sitting up in heaven that's looking down on you and I, that's making things happen, that's giving us opportunities, that's showing you and me that just because we get our head beat in sometimes by the enemy, or just because we mess up, that he is faithful and just to forgive us. He's always right there for you and I to pick us up again and to love us and to hold on to us. John chapter 18, verse 1, the Bible says, when Jesus has spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. The first thing I want you to know, right before Jesus is about to be arrested, right before the soldiers are about to come and take him, is that Jesus on purpose went to a certain location. The Bible says that they went to a garden, and just for the sake of time, I don't have time to go down that road, but I love that when God does something, it's on purpose. And the first sin took place in the garden, and I believe our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ made sure that he went back to a garden to finish it once and for all. I want you to know today that the enemy doesn't have power to create. The enemy doesn't have power to make certain things happen. He has the power to deceive, and God always will make sure that he overrides the plans of the enemy. It doesn't mean the enemy does not have plans for your life or for my life, but it does mean that if we'll allow God to be God in our lives by trusting him, by giving him respect, by giving him honor, by praying to him, and maybe one of the most important things is that when you and I mess up, that we're not ashamed to go back to him again. Throughout the scripture, when people fall, when people let God down, when they let Jesus down, so many times these great men and women of faith are great because they didn't allow the enemy to destroy them by making them feel condemned or making them feel ashamed or making them feel less than for months and months and a lot of times years and years and years. They were quick to get back to Jesus. I also love in this story that the Bible says that when Jesus took the disciples to this certain garden over the brook Kidron that Judas knew of the place because the disciples and Jesus and obviously Judas had met there several times before. That lets you and me know that sometimes the enemy does know our secret place. Sometimes the enemy does know the things that we enjoy. And sometimes the enemy knows some of the places that we meet with God and that we have these joyous and amazing experiences. But that doesn't, I don't say that to make us scared or to make us worried. I say that to let you know to keep your eyes wide open and your ears wide open, to let you know to not be naive to think, well, the enemy can't get me here, or the enemy can't do this. It just simply means that just because that you and I meet at a certain place every Wednesday and we have this time together, then yes, I believe the enemy knows about this. I believe the enemy is scared of this. And ultimately, I believe that God has given you and I the victory to be able to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when the disciples get to this certain place in the garden, Jesus gets to the certain place in the garden. Verse 3 says, then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Verse 4, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, whom are you seeking? Today, I want to show you what kind of Savior you and I serve. I want to show you what kind of Savior that in the middle of our lives hanging in the balance, when people are coming to hurt and to harm him, I want to show you what Jesus's response was. The Bible says that these troops, they were coming, they had swords, they had lanterns, they had shields, they were ready to come to war if that's what it took. And before that they could get to Jesus's disciples, the Bible says that Jesus steps forward and asks a very, very important question. He says, listen, whom are you seeking? Verse 5, they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, I am he. And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Verse 6, now when he said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. This is the part I believe that they were, maybe nowadays we would call it slain in the spirit. When the power of God comes upon you so much that your physical body literally can't handle it. Verse 7, then he asked them again, who are you seeking? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Today, brothers and sisters, you and I serve a God. We serve a Savior that not only when the enemy comes towards us, that the Bible says that he will raise up a standard, meaning that when the enemy comes our way, that we have a Savior that will stand in the gap for you and me. We serve a Jesus that when the enemy's coming in with swords and lanterns and shields and all these things, that he will step in front of you and I and be our shield. He will step in front of you and I and be our barrier. But my question today is, why did Jesus ask a question that he already knew the answer to? He saw the troops coming. I believe it was loud. I believe that all the other disciples saw him coming with the lights. I believe they saw the lights first. They probably would have heard the sound next. And they knew it wasn't good. They knew it was soldiers. There was troops that were coming their way. And Jesus not only steps out in front of them, but he asks a question. He says, whom are you seeking? Today, I believe the reason that Jesus answered that question, that in the middle of one of his greatest adversities, that in the middle of him about to lose his life, not because they took it, but because he chose to lay it down, the very thing that Jesus wanted to bring to his disciples was comfort. He wanted his disciples to know they're not looking for you. They're not coming to hurt you. And today he wants you to know, Sister Alex, that the enemy's coming for you, but that's okay because I've stood in your place. He wants us to know that, listen, you've went through a divorce, maybe two divorces, but it's okay. I've healed your heart because the enemy came for you, but I chose to stand in the gap and to rescue you. He wants you to know that I've dealt with your anxiety and your depression and your adversity and your sickness. He wants you and I to know that he will stand in the gap for us. And not only will he stand in the gap for us, while he's standing there, he'll bring you and me comfort. He asked the soldiers, who are you coming after? Who do you want to harm? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And they fall back and he lets them gain their consciousness again. He lets them stand back up and he asks them for the second time, whom do you seek? Just in case maybe Peter was a little nervous. Or maybe John was worried that they were going to take Jesus and John. Or maybe Thomas was a little scared, or Thomas was a little worried that they were going to take him and maybe even go get his family, or maybe even his newborn son or his newborn daughter. Or maybe one of the other disciples was nervous that they were going to grab them all up. So Jesus, in his greatest face or his greatest adversity, right when his life was in the balance, decided to choose to give his disciples comfort. In other words, he wanted them to be peaceful. He wanted them to know that, listen, I got this. This is not by coincidence. This is not by chance. This is what I orchestrated for you. I brought you back to this garden to let you know that how the sin started, I'm going to settle it right here once and for all. And today, brothers and sisters, I believe God wants you to know, and God wants me to know, that he started this thing and he's already finished this thing. I believe God wants you and me to know that just because the enemy continues to harm us or continues to make us trip up, that today can be the day that we can go back with Jesus to our safe place, to our garden. We can go back to a place that we've known with him before, and he will stand literally before us. Have you ever seen, especially with little kids, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6-year-old, even with Isabel sometimes at 9-year-old, when you know, I'll see somebody that I haven't seen in a while or meet somebody new, the first thing a kid will do is walk back into the arms or even walk behind their parent or even their grandparent. They'll walk behind them, but a lot of times if you'll really pay attention, the dad or the mom will actually step in front of the child before the child can even step behind them. It's a sign of a parent showing love and showing protection. So when Jesus's enemies were coming to destroy him for nothing he did wrong, hear that today, for nothing, absolutely nothing he did wrong, he was perfect and he was kind and he was loving and he was merciful and he kept rescuing people and he kept healing people and he kept delivering people and he kept taking care of them time and time and time again. But when push came to shove, Jesus walks out in front of his disciples and they say, listen, Jesus says, who are you seeking? And they say, Jesus of Nazareth. And when Jesus responds back to them, I am he. I believe it was as powerful today, brothers and sisters, when Moses said, who do I tell them you are? And God says, listen, it's me. I am he. I am the I am that I am. I believe it was as powerful as when God told Moses as when Jesus said it that day. It's cool to think of Jesus as this great savior that died for the sins of the world. But I want us to start thinking of Jesus as the one that when the enemy's bringing the heat, in the middle of our sin, in the middle of us messing up, that it's Jesus that steps around us and says, no, I got this one. No, this is what I died for. No, this is what I redeemed them for. It's okay, Coach Pardee messed up again. I died for that. It's okay that Brother Kevin fell short again. Brother Joel fell short, even though I told him not to do it. Or Brother Allen, time and time again, lost his temper or got mad or whatever it may be. It's okay because let me step in front of them and show them who I am. The Bible tells us faith without works is dead. Jesus not only spoke what he was going to do, he lived his faith. He lived protecting us. He lived redeeming us. And ultimately, he lived to die for you and me today. So as we approach Mother's Day in a couple days, I'm reminded of so many times in my life that I've seen my mom protect us, that I've seen someone else's mom stand in the gap or stand in the way, or probably the best thing a mom knows how to do is pray for her children. You see, Jesus stood in front of the disciples, but a mom will intercede for her children and for her family and for her loved ones. Today, brothers and sisters, we serve a Savior that in the middle of his life about to be taken, he wanted to bring the disciples comfort. And today he wants to bring you comfort. I know the economy's doing certain things, and I know sometimes life is extremely hard, but we serve a God that wants us to know him as comforter. You see, I'm not a person that necessarily says God wants to get us out of our comfort zone, because I know him as comforter. I do believe God wants us to get out of the facade that we're in a comfortable place, absolutely. But he wants us to know him as the one that holds us when we can't hold ourselves, that holds us up when you and I don't have the strength to stand. He wants you to know today that he wants to bring you life and life more abundantly. I thank God for the garden. I thank God that when Jesus took the disciples back there after he no doubt did it time and time and time again, he knew this time was going to be different. But there was one thing I believe Jesus knew he wasn't going to allow to be different. I believe when they were with him, their hearts would burn. And the Bible talks about it. And you know that when the Spirit of the living God comes on the situation or comes on the inside of you, it brings you peace and joy and comfort. It brings the fruits of the Spirit to life. And I believe every time before they had been to that garden, they felt safe and they felt comfortable. They felt loved and they felt protected. And there was no way that last time, the last time they would have the ability to be with Jesus in the flesh, when he was in the natural, there was absolutely no way that Jesus was going to allow that to pass without them feeling comfort again. And I believe God wants you to feel comfort today. I believe he wants you to feel confidence in his finished work. Let's pray. God, I thank you. I thank you that when you went to the garden that day, you knew you were gonna give it all, Lord Jesus. And God, I thank you for that. I do. I thank you for your perfect plan. I thank you that you were good enough to do it, that in the face of adversity and trial, you stepped in front of your disciples and you stepped in front of us, and you're at the right hand of God the Father forever making intercession for us. I thank you that even now you step in front of us. And I thank you for your protection and your love, your blessings and your kindness, your grace and mercy, your love. I thank you for everything. And this day, Lord, I pray for every mom that's in this call, and spiritual moms and physical moms, Yahweh. I pray that every mom that'll hear this message, I speak right now into them, God. I call greatness forward. I call them blessed and I call them encouraged. I call them strengthened, God. I pray that they will never give up hope for those children that went wayward. I pray that you will give them power to call those children home, Lord. I call them healed in the natural. I call them healed in the flesh. God, this day I call them blessed, Lord. I call them blessed above and not beneath. I call them lenders and not borrowers. God, this day I pray that you will anoint your mothers, Lord, that you chose to be mothers before the foundation of the world. And I pray that you want to anoint them in such a way that they will feel inspired, that they will feel strong, that they will feel victorious. But more than anything else, Lord God, I pray that they will feel the love of God the Father at this moment, this day. God, you're exactly who you say you are. You're good all by yourself. You're full of love and mercy. And I thank you for those things. I thank you for words of encouragement. I thank you words of instruction. And God, I thank you for my brothers and sisters in this call and that get to hear this message, that they're willing to listen to a word from somebody like me. God, I thank you. I thank you that you speak. And I thank you that you've given us ears to listen, Yahweh. Today we love you. Today we consider these things done by faith in your word and your goodness. And we believe them to be done. And we pray them in Jesus' name. Amen.